Exactly 1 month ago, Governor Scott Walker proposed his 2017-2019 state budget. It spends the most on K-12 schools, health care, and another huge program is aid to local governments. So I'm thankful that Wisconsin I is in the Marshfield City Hall to talk to three leaders of those local governments about the impact of the governor's budget. I want to thank Wood County Vice Chairman of the Wood County Board of Supervisors, Ed Wagner, Marshfield School Superintendent, Dr. D. Wells, and Marshfield Mayor Chris Meyer. Thank you very much.
Glad to meet you.
Twofold questions, and let's start with the first one. Biggest need of your local government entity, that's the first question. Answer that one, and then we'll come back with your overview of whether the governor's budget helped or hurt. Ed, you want to go first?
Well, thank you. I will. The biggest need in terms of fiscal responsibility for Wood County has been roads. And back 3 years ago, we identified how far behind we had fallen in our road maintenance. And for the first time, Wood County started borrowing for roads.
For the first time?
For the first time, we started borrowing for roads. We had almost zero debt for a county, which was really unusual. So we embarked on a program that envisions borrowing $4 million a year for 10 years to catch up and maintain our roads. The governor's budget was pretty generous with shared revenues on roads. Or let's put it this way, it's more generous than it has been. Okay. This may, in fact, lessen the amount that we have to borrow for certain road projects. We're going to see how the categories shake out.
Okay.
But we may not have to borrow as much. We may not have to borrow that whole $4 million a year for 10 years in order to do it. The other big need of ours, 42% of our budget is social services.
42% of your budget?
42% of a $120 million budget is social services. And he was really good in his proposal on those on the social services ends too. So those two things we were quite happy about.
Thank you. Dr. Wells, we're 6 years past the Act 10 era, mm-hmm. So biggest needs of the Marshfield School District?
Yeah, I think our school district, like many school districts, our biggest need continues to look for revenue cap relief. The revenue limits as they were imposed found Marshfield in a position of being a low-spending school. And as a low-spending school, you were capped at that particular level. So we're hoping for some revenue cap relief. We are thankful to this community for supporting schools in the gracious way that it does, but this continual roller coaster of looking for operating levy overrides by the taxpayers puts school districts in a continual push, not only with their constituents, but also with other taxing bodies within the authority. So some revenue cap relief would have been helpful. Having said that, the governor has proposed, again, an increase to the categorical aids for school districts that he's given on a per pupil basis in the past. So he's proposed an increase for that. As I think most people have heard, there are some ties that are yet to be defined with those increases. A couple of those being the idea of a portion of employees and their health care cost. So he's talked about a 12%, and we're really not sure what we're talking, the 12% of what. And then the other thing is that those dollars go directly to the school administrators of the school buildings on a per pupil basis. And while that's all well and good, it is not our districts like so many other districts where some schools have higher proportions of needs in their buildings. We have a couple of buildings, for example, that have a high degree of need, students of need. And for everyone to be getting equal amounts isn't necessarily what we would think of as equity. And so I think we have that. And then the other need, as much has been identified here, is our need for students for mental health care. We have a growing population of families, and therefore many, many students of need in the form of mental health care. And the governor did make effort within his budget toward recognition of the fact that schools need help with funding the type of help that our students need within those classroom walls 8 hours, 7 hours a day. So $3 million for provision of reimbursement for social workers, school social workers, spread out over roughly 400 districts who might take advantage of that, it's a little bit of help. And then there's some grants, some grants for communities who have a collaborative effort with their communities in providing mental health services in the schools. We already have an agreement with some of our mental health providers to provide services in the schools, but we are very interested in what that will look like when all the details are put forward. So as far as the budget, he's been kind to schools in the categorical, again, and then recognizing that our need for mental health challenges in the schools is very much like it is in our county and our community.
Okay. And Mayor Meyer, your city's about 20,000?
About 20,000.
About 20,000. Biggest need?
Very much like the county infrastructure. Roads are by far our biggest concern in the city of Marshfield. We're a community of just under 20,000 people, but we serve about 33 to 35,000 people on a daily basis. People come into our community for work or for other business, and meeting the needs of the community with about 140 miles of road is a continuous effort. We have about, of that 140 miles of road, we have about 40 miles of road that are in need of repair of some sort, either total replacement or at least what I would consider mid-range maintenance. We have an aggressive maintenance program, but you know, you can only maintain something like your car for so long until it does still need to be replaced. And so the road aid increases in the governor's budget are a huge advantage to rural communities, small communities like Marshfield. Certainly a recognition that there was a lack of funding to support local roads. But there's still the larger issue of infrastructure looming across the state. The Department of Transportation has had for a number of years a looming deficit in their budget. And don't forget that communities like Marshfield have state roads that come through them that rely on those state dollars for road projects as well. Our Central Avenue has got a section of it that has been scheduled for some sort of service over the last 5 years, and it's continually moving out. That continues to be a big barrier. We're certainly grateful for the additional funding in the budget for rural roads, but it's a step in the right direction, but it's not a complete step to where we need to be.
When you took office in 2008,
yes,
the city also had 140 miles of roads then, and now you have 40 miles that are in needs. When you took office, was the number lower?
It was. You know, back in the prior to 2010, we operated under a levy limit in the state of Wisconsin, meaning that we could increase taxes slightly annually to meet, you know, operational increased costs. That was a difficult system to live under, but it was something that did allow for us to do a little bit more each year. Since 2010, we've operated under a levy freeze, which is much, much more difficult and very restrictive to local units of government, much like the school district with their operating caps. We simply can't raise taxes just to cover whatever the specific local needs may be. And the needs in Marshfield are very different from the needs in Stevens Point. We may not be far apart, but soil conditions when it comes to road longevity are very different between the two communities. And there's not there's no tool available to local units of government that allows them the flexibility to meet the specific local needs of their communities, and that's something that is missing. The levy freeze, by far, is the biggest hindrance to us, which remains.
Very quick follow-up. Has your city considered a wheel tax?
That was discussed. We did look at a referendum last year, which failed. We didn't want to look at it. We actually had a referendum that failed. It was the first time we had looked.
Was it a referendum just for roads?
Just for roads, specifically tied to roads.
How much?
$1 mill rate increase for 5 years, generating about $6.2 to $6.5 million, only fixing about 5 or 6 miles of that 40 miles of road that we need to have repaired. When that failed, the next question was, what about a wheel tax? You know, there's ongoing discussion about that. Marathon County, for example, are in an interesting situation where both the county and some of the municipalities are looking at wheel tax. Mm-hmm. And does that mean that if I own a car, and it does, if you own a car in that county, you may be paying a wheel tax to both the county and to the local unit of government. We felt that that's something we need to evaluate because it's about the only tool left to us. But it is something that I think has very lukewarm support from a constituent standpoint.
Thank you. Superintendent Wells, the governor's budget, as you know, 200 additional per pupil first year, 204 the second year, but there's some fine print. It depends on whether the self-insurance plan. But here's my question. Assuming your district gets 200 year one, 204, how are you going to use that? How much for classroom? How much for some of the mental health programs? Where will that additional 200 go?
Well, definitely it all goes to a classroom. And when we think about that, our highest needs right now are, again, the growing population of students that we have that are facing some very significant mental health challenges. Either they themselves have these challenges or they're living with people who have these challenges.
Which our, they bring to the classroom.
Yes, you know, we have some classrooms that are pretty well saturated with students who are struggling. That creates such a it creates an environment in the classroom that's difficult for everyone. Students can't learn if their basic needs aren't being met. If I'm wondering what's going to happen to me when I get home, I don't focus on anything at school. I just absolutely can't. Mental health providers are extremely costly. School districts could hire, we could hire mental health providers, but you're talking people with large degrees and many letters behind their names who are true mental health providers.
Special.
Yes, they're very special. And those things are very difficult for us to come by. Many districts, especially those that are in a more urban location, have been able to put together programs with their local clinics or hospitals where they are basically contracting for mental health services to be provided to the school districts within the schools. We have persons right now who are coming into our district, but they're doing that to see patients who are already on their caseloads. We don't make referrals. We don't have the ability to support students who don't have any type of access to insurance or a form of support that would pay for these mental health providers to help our students. So, to answer your question more directly, the money for us would go towards those types of pupil support programs that we're finding ourselves on the short ends of the stick for. So, we have two social workers in our district. They're actually working as school counselors. We could use social workers who are able to do social work. We could use some school counselors. We have a small number of school counselors that are elementary and middle level, and probably pushing the mark of not having enough at our upper level. We have a growing need for AODA services in the community in general, and we would like to work in greater partnership with some of the forces in the community, drug forces and those types of things, and it's growing throughout the Midwest. So to answer your question, the money all goes back to the classroom. It's not necessarily in the form of the teacher, but it's in the form of those people who can help support that classroom so that all the students in there have an option to learn at higher levels. We also are probably looking at a way that we know we could improve our services for all students, those students in the middle that we talk about who aren't either our gifted students or our students with extra needs. Sometimes they get a little bit left behind, and we want to make sure that we're doing and supporting our whole structure. So it all goes back into the classroom. The other thing I would add finally is, like so many other districts, it's hard to compete.
Are you losing some of your best and brightest?
We're not losing so much of the best and the brightest, because we believe that we have an extremely gifted workforce here in Marshfield. We've been very blessed with that. But there are those particular sort of demographic of folks that we have who come to us from a more urban place, perhaps, or a place where they have more community attractions. And so when they get an opportunity and they're getting a pay bump that we can't match, they will leave. And we've had a few of those, quite honestly. Not a lot. We, though, are also the next step up for those smaller communities around us. So it's sort of a everybody moves uphill kind of a thing, and people reach around to see where the best talent is. But that talent in this market can cost money.
Thank you. Ed, I want to come back to something you said. Does the governor's budget, if it was enacted, would Wood County be ahead in addressing its road highway needs, or just kind of marching in place?
I think we might be ahead, because some of the...
In a big way or a little way?
That depends. I can't figure out a more weaselly answer than that at the moment, but that's where I have to go with it. Because of it's not, transportation isn't just one thing, it's a number of things. And I had a list of things that he's doing. General transportation aids is the one we get most, and that's going to be a 12.9% increase. That's across the board.
That's pretty
okay. That's pretty hefty.
Bumper, yeah.
It is. local bridge increases up by $3 million a year, for each year of the biennium. Local road improvement program up $2 million. And this is something that the other one is the one the mayor alluded to, is that local governments and county do maintain state roads, and there's it's called routine maintenance, the RMA fund, and that is up $33 million over the biennium. That's a big chunk of cash. So will that help us? Yeah, it will. Depends on how bad we are stuck with the levy limits, because that's one of the downers of the whole thing, is where the levy limits are still there. They didn't go away. Okay. And there are no, and we don't know what the legislature is going to do with that budget either, because there, as you might know, there's a difference of opinion among some of the leaders of the Republican caucus as to how the transportation funding should be done.
Right.
So there's something there. I want to touch on something that the superintendent said too. I mentioned that they were pretty generous in the human services part.
Yes.
One thing we're happy about, that they did increase the children and family AIDS allocation by about 1.25 million, which is something. Mm-hmm. This is good news for the county, because we're experiencing a huge increase in child welfare cases, a huge increase, and it's a very costly program. We also share her pain, in every sense of the word, in trying to recruit people, psychiatrists, psychologists, mental health workers in general, qualified mental health workers. There's a shortage of them nationwide, and trying to attract psychiatrists to come to a rural community is very difficult and increasingly expensive. And we've been trying to do that now for a year or so, and it's been very difficult. The last thing I want to mention in that area, AODA.
Alcohol and other drugs.
Yes, alcohol and other drug. Wood County runs a drug court, and we're talking about getting into a veterans court, which is to divert the users of all the AODA, the whole realm, and try and get them back into society, try to treat the addiction itself and get them back into the society. This budget did include an increase in money for what they call a TAD, or treatment alternatives. And that includes the drug courts. Now, I just had to ask the Marshfield City Council, as a county board member and an alderman, a very difficult position, ask them for money to that had been cut from the Wood County budget, and because the state grant had been diminished, to allow some of the treatment services to happen in Marshfield as well as Rapids, because that's a 35-mile drive. It looks like the increases that they've got in there will allow, I won't have to ask them again next year, okay, which I'm sure is a great relief to his honor.
Well, so. Your Honor, when I asked the City of Milwaukee mayor their top priority, when I ask his office, his aides, the top priority, they say, we'd like an increase in shared revenue. It was an increase in the governor's budget. How big a deal is that for you as mayor of Marshfield?
It's one of the biggest components of our budget from a revenue standpoint.
How much do you get in shared revenue?
I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but it's generally in the range of about 30 or 40% of our city budget.
30 or 40%.
So it's a significant component of what it is we fund our community projects with. Certainly, the advantage with the shared revenue is that it's more flexible dollars. You know, it's not transportation dollars, which are just for transportation. And in a large community like Milwaukee, that's certainly an advantage. It's certainly an advantage in a small community like Marshfield. I would say that by and large, I don't think that Milwaukee and Marshfield are that far apart. Roads, I've driven in Milwaukee. Roads need attention. Roads, but that's not the only thing we're talking about when it comes to infrastructure. Flint, Michigan made national news with lead water pipes. You know, we're fortunate in Marshfield. We thought we were going to have a higher prevalence of lead pipes in Marshfield. We only have a couple hundred homes that are impacted, which is very positive. But that's infrastructure.
Is there any help in the governor's budget for your lead pipe?
There was actually help prior to the
residences?
Budget in the way of DNR grants in order to help encourage replacement of laterals. And the city of Marshfield owns a municipal utility, which was successful in getting a grant to help encourage people to replace those laterals. However, when it comes to our main system throughout the community, you know, working through the limitations that the PSC places on us, Public Service Commission places on us, you know, our plan is to replace the handle the $75 million project over the next 75 years, $1 million per year. That's not a realistic goal. You know, we can't have a plan that is going to take 75 years to come to conclusion. We need to find a way to fund those types of improvements to be able to maintain the systems we have, let alone be able to grow. I mean, because that's the name of the game in a community like Marshfield or Milwaukee or Stratford, Wisconsin, is if you're not growing, you're dying. You need to continually be focused on economic development, which means expanding roads, expanding water systems, expanding protective services. Partnering strongly with your school district, which is a big reason people come to Marshfield, our phenomenal schools. But growing implies the need for more revenue in order to support that growth. And unfortunately, right now, we have been for the last several years in a model of really just kind of toying the line and trying to keep the wheels on the bus, so to speak, rather than really investing in the growth of our community the way we need to be.
Well, all three of you have outlined some ways that the governor's budget makes progress. So here's my next question. Are you advising legislators pass the governor's budget as it was recommended, or are there one or two specific changes that you'd like to see made? Superintendent, you want to go first?
Sure. You know, I would encourage the legislature to continue the governor's path here, Okay. Whatever his reasons are, for shoring up some of the funding to schools. I am reticent to recommend the strings of the categorical aids. As the mayor pointed out, Marshfield is not the same as, say, a Stevens Point or a Milwaukee. And while someone's experience might be, well, if we give the money to the district, it never gets to the classroom, that is absolutely not true in any school district that I've ever been a part of or any administration or school board that I've ever met. School boards are extremely cautious with money. They want it to become and go as close to the children as possible. Perhaps in their purview, they've come across that, but you won't find that here. We put the money towards the students. But we do it in a way where we meet the needs. So it's not, as I said, equal. It's what students need. And I think I would encourage the legislature to trust their local officials to do what's right for children and to drop those provisions. If they want to some attestment or testament to how the money was spent, fine. But to say, and this is how thou shalt do it, I'm just not following that line of reasoning.
How often has the Marshfield School District had to go to referendum?
Well, for the last, I want to say, do you know, Chris? You've been here longer than I have.
As long as I can remember.
At least 10 years.
Yeah, maybe more. I think they started almost as the immediate when the revenue limits went in.
Is that a healthy way to continue to teach kids in Marshfield?
No, because you were always, it's similar to categorical aids. Another reason the categorical aids aren't put in underneath the regular per pupil aid and the state general aid formula is because once they're there, they're there. Categorical aids, on the other hand, can be cut at just about any budget time. So it is not a healthy way. It's similar to us saying we're going to apply for a grant and hire a whole bunch of people and then just hope the grant goes on forever. That's just not how, it's not a healthy way to do education.
Rolling the dice with the voters is not a strong way to go about it.
Putting the lives of students and the education of the next generation always at the hands of, you know, the little voting machine, or for whatever reason, attaching strings to everything, it isn't the way to bring up the next generation. It just really isn't.
Ed, is your advice to the lawmakers pass the governor's budget as he gave it to them? Don't screw it up. Don't cut some of the funding for the programs you've just been talking about.
Well, I'm going to have to say, I'm going to have to be a two-handed politician, on one hand this and on the other hand this. And that point is that there are things in there we really, really like, but there are overriding issues that we would really like to see. And to some extent, the mayor brought it up and Dee talked about it also, and that is we feel, and to a great extent, that we're losing local control. The more we're dependent upon the state aids, the less control we have over it. So the first and foremost, you know, I'd like to see them do something about the levy limits. I don't know if they're ever going to do that, but I'd like to see that happen. One of the things that I know I'm going to hear a lot about from my colleagues on the county board is the governor gave more money to the to counties for conservation specialists or for cost sharing and conservation specialists. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're also dealing with an issue that Southeast Wood County is very, very passionate about, and that is the concentrated animal feeding operations, or the CAFOs.
CAFOs, yes.
Yeah, we got like a 5,000 cow operation going in down in the Southeast, and the residents are upset, and they're very upset with the county board because we actually can't do anything about it. We don't have any local control on that at all. And that word local control, or that term local control, is really an overriding issue that we'd really like to see the legislature start giving back some of the local control to the school boards, to the cities, to the counties, counties first, and then we'd.
I will give the mayor a chance to respond. He will. Counties first. I'll give you that chance right now. Pass the gov's budget as he proposed it, or no?
No, and for the same reasons that were mentioned here. You know, there's a process to go through. The gov's budget is not, it's better than budgets we've seen in the recent past, and from that standpoint, it's tempting to say, yes, this is as good as it's going to get. But there are a lot of things I think that need to be vetted. I know there's going to be controversial things that come up in the discussion. The removal, for example, of the personal property tax is something that always kind of bubbles up during the discussions of the budget. It's like
$97 million hit.
Yep.
You local governments like you.
Yep. And it's a significant hit. And that's the point I always make with our legislators who have asked about our thoughts on that. And regardless of your theory, your philosophy on whether or not it's a tax that shouldn't be in existence anymore, it is real dollars, and it does generate real revenue to the community that if it just disappeared would significantly cripple us. You know, before when you were asking about shared revenue, one of the things that I think people aren't really aware of is the percentage of property taxes, the percentage makeup of property taxes in a city budget. City of Marshall, we have about a $40 to $42 million annual budget. Of that, only about $10 to $12 million, usually around $12 million, is actually property tax revenue. The rest is coming from intergovernmental services revenues or shared revenues, state aids, and that sort of funding source. So getting more flexibility to work on that property tax side does allow local units of government to do and tailor the needs of their community, or tailor the tax codes in their communities to the needs of their community. And I think that Ed was right on, hit the nail right on the head. Local control is something we have lost a drastic amount of over the last, and this isn't just Governor Walker, this is going back well over a decade. Mm-hmm. We need to start putting the decision making back in the hands of the people who are closest to the people that it's impacting.
Okay, let's assume that the governor's budget passes like 90% of it, and you guys have had a month to look at it. Now, but let's look out 3 and 4 years. If this governor's budget is enacted largely, what's your biggest concerns 3 and 4 years that the governor's office, I'm sorry, the governor's budget doesn't really address? Superintendent, you want to, 3 and 4 years out?
The revenue. The revenue limits, because we will, again, 3 and 4 years out, be running back into operating referendum time. And the amount of time and investment that every district puts into that to run those referendums, sometimes successful. This year, for most school districts, successful, but sometimes not.
The record $1.35 billion in referendums passed last year, according to the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. Excuse me for interrupting.
No, and I think that's a very good point, because just lately in the past few weeks, I've seen some rhetoric about, well, we shouldn't be doing these referendums. I don't know how we can say that that's the right statement, because when the revenue limits were put in place, the very next thing was, if the local voters want to approve it, let the local voters speak.
I've heard that said in the Capitol.
Well, the local voters have spoken, so why would there be any pushback about the local voters having their say? Those two things, just there's a disconnect there for me, so I'll be honest about that. But as you said, 3 to 4 years out, we're right back into operating levy time again. It will depend upon the life of the residents. What is their sort of reality 3 to 4 years from now? That reality will be seen at the polls. And that every school district who has to rely on these operating levy overrides knows that how life for the residents is gets reflected in the polls, which really is going to be the impact on our future democracy.
And then Ed and the mayor, 3 and 4 years out, the biggest unresolved issue is transportation funding, correct?
Well, I think
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
We're not like the city in the because we have responsibility for certain social service programs, or human service programs.
Yes.
I'm a little bit worried about those costs going up, and I'm worried about those
costs exploding.
Right, and because we can always float a bond issue or do a referendum for highways, but we can't for the operating cost of the others, and those are squeezing the budget pretty well right now. And some of them, like I said, in the child welfare, in the mental health services, all of those are areas where we're going to be required to do that, and we can't pay for that. We can't float a referendum to pay for operating expenses. You can't. Mm-hmm. We can't. And so that is putting a tremendous squeeze on the amount of money we're going to be able to raise by levy, and that's going to push everything that isn't operations into debt, and that worries me.
Mayor Meyer, last term, yep. But your successor is going to have, she or he is going to have to worry about their biggest worry 3-4 years?
Again, it comes back to the levy limits. You know, for us in the city of Marshfield, it's very clear that the levy limits, levy freeze was put in place, recognizing that there's some communities that had gotten a little maybe fat in their budgets. Like the school district, you know, we weren't one of those. We were very responsible and proactive with our budgeting processes, and so the levy freeze has hurt us more. We haven't had as much areas to cut in without impacting services directly. That's going to continue to be a problem. Ironically, one of the things that's interesting in the budgets we've seen come from the state of Wisconsin over the last several years is that it actually incentivizes borrowing for communities. It's actually the opposite of what you'd think you should be incentivizing. And the reason being that we can increase taxes if it's for debt service, so our debt payment. So we can increase taxes.
That's outside the levy limits.
That's outside the levy limits.
Okay, excuse me.
So, you know, it's actually encouraging communities to borrow more, increasing borrowing. And the city of Marshfield has. We have increased some of our borrowing, largely in the economic development spectrum, incentives for businesses to come and locate here. But communities across the state have increased their debt load under this I think, time to move on policy of a levy freeze in the state of Wisconsin, by far the number one issue for us.
But you two both mentioned transportation funding.
Yep.
If it were up to you, how would you provide long-term transportation funding in Wisconsin? Real quickly, Ed.
There has to be a revenue source, like there has to be a tax of some sort that will be dedicated strictly to transportation.
Raise our gas tax and the license plate renewal fee?
Yeah, gas tax probably.
I think that's right on the mark. I mean, you know, we need to index the gas tax and move away from a 30 or 40 year old system of how it is we generate that revenue. We also got to look for new ways to do it. I'm not a fan of toll roads or any of the other things that other states have looked at. And I think there's going to be some opportunities coming from the federal government here based on some of the things we've heard, at least rhetoric right now, about massive infrastructure spending. So we'll have to see how that works and trickles down to communities like ours. But yeah, it's absolutely an issue that we need to find a more sustainable solution to.
And maybe final question for Superintendent Wells. Sure. With our new federal Secretary of Education supporting charter and vouchers, will there be increasing competition between K-12 public schools and some of these choice schools?
I think that is the predominant concern out there amongst the public school advocates, and I think the answer is yes. I think you'll see that especially perhaps in our state first. I think you'll see some more of that. Probably it'll be a lifting of the voucher cap. That's going to go away. I think so. I think that's going to be, we've had those internal discussions already. What will that mean? How would that look? What will local school districts be doing?
Well, as a veteran of K-12, has the entire voucher system made public schools generally better?
I don't know that it's had any impact on public schools at this point.
No. Okay. I think we're out of time. I want to thank Wood County Board Vice Chairman Ed Wagner, Marshfield School Superintendent Dr. D. Wells, Marshfield Mayor Chris Meyer. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.